want to turn back for a text to the book of Deuteronomy. You may be surprised. I'm not turning away from Ephesians 2, I can assure you of that. And I'll come back to it very shortly. But there is a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it's the second verse which has been particularly on my mind for this evening. And there in the second verse of chapter 8, in the book of Deuteronomy, we read, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." And it's about 5 times in this chapter that we read similar words about remembering the way the Lord has led his people. And I'm sure that those of us who are older perhaps spend more time now than we had to in the past, when things were very busy and pressing. At last we can, as it were, sit aside really, just sit aside from things and think over. And certainly I've been thinking over the past. Remembering is a remarkable gift in our creation. I'm not going to go into medical details because I'm not a medic. But it is an amazing thing that a brain that in your head is so small, and yet it has such an enormous capacity for collecting information, remembering words, places, remembering colours even. I don't know whether you think in colour, but I do. I'm not sure about dreaming in colour, but I can certainly think in colour. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it, that this ability is all there in a very tiny thing, actually, inside the skull. It was very important that Moses should teach these people who were on the borders of the promised land. Now, again, perhaps the older ones will see the relevance. We are on the borders, aren't we? We're on the borders of the end of life anyway. And that becomes increasingly evident. We none of us know exactly when it will be, but we know it will come, unless the Lord comes before. We're on the borders, in the borderland. So the younger ones will be saying, well, that's a bit sad because it means we've got nothing much to listen to tonight. It's all for the older ones. Well, I hope it won't turn out to be like that, because I'm sure that there is lessons in remembering, even short-term memory, remembering why you came this morning, remembering what your thoughts were in coming. Remembering things like that are very important. We need to be considering our ways, don't we? So we don't have to go back half a century in order to remember. Very important then. What was Moses really saying to these people about remembering? I'm not going to read in chapter 5, but if you look at it afterwards, or just glance at it now, you'll see that in chapter 5, he is speaking about God's covenant with Israel. God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And God had made a covenant with this nation as they set out or at least fairly early in their journey at Mount Horeb, there was a covenant made, and there was a condition in the covenant, and that was that they should keep his commandments. So you have the idea of a covenant, you have the idea of commandments, and it's very important to think back as to your relationship with the Lord. I was going to say covenants, but perhaps you don't know about a covenant. Do you want to know about a relationship with the living God? That's an easier question perhaps for you. And if you have a relationship with the living God, isn't it right and proper that you should remember how that happened? Well, I don't apologize for being rather personal, but I'm going to go back to that wonderful chapter in Ephesians, because I remember. I wonder if you have places in the Bible where you can honestly say, now I remember the effect that that had on me. Have you a verse or a group of verses somewhere in the Bible about which you can say, now I remember what happened. I remember the circumstances. I remember how I was feeling, how I was praying. I remember. And I wonder, again, I'm going to speak to the younger ones. I wonder if you realize that as you get older, you need things to remember. You will need, when you are older, to be able to look back and say, I know that happened. I know that part of the Bible was made so precious, important, powerful in my life. So I've been remembering. I shan't tell you the whole story of my life. That's impossible. And it wouldn't be very profitable either. But I can tell you at least of two things which I remember with special thankfulness. And I remember back to the time when I was a student. I'd left home for the first time. I'd gone to live among strangers in Nottingham, students in Nottingham. And on Sundays I used to go down to the chapel in Nottingham. It's not there now, they've built a new one, but it's a very old building, not a very attractive building. And I was in that state of mind where I was completely confused. I wonder whether you feel rather like that sometimes. You look at your life, you look at the changes in your life. Inevitably, I was looking at the changes in my life. I'd left my home. I wasn't any longer under the influence of my parents. I just wondered what might happen. But alongside all those natural thoughts was the question in my mind. Now, what does this spiritual life really mean? Well, I went down one Sunday, and there was an old man coming from Lancashire, to preach. I'd never heard him before. I didn't know anything about him. His name was Colin Turton. I don't suppose anybody here has ever heard of him. And he gave out for his text a verse in Ephesians 2. And the verse was verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And quite rightly, when he began to speak, he turned our thoughts back to the first verse in this chapter. Who are these people? They're described very plainly as fellow citizens with the saints. Are you a fellow citizen with the saints? Can you look back and remember anything that indicates that you are what that verse describes? And the first verse, as you well know, reads, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Well, I didn't understand that either at the time. I very well knew that Jesus taught Nicodemus that I had to be born again, that he had to be born again, and I knew I had to be born again. But was I born again? Was there any evidence of this kind of life? Had there been any evidence of any quickening in my life? Was I different? Was I still dead in trespasses and sins? Have you ever asked yourself a question like that? The Bible is a speaking book, you know, and there are ways in which the verses of the Bible can suddenly affect you. Well, this was happening that day. I still didn't understand. I was still searching, and I was really quite bewildered to begin with. What does this mean? You hath he quickened. What is this quickening? What is this new life? What's it like? How shall I know that I've got this new life? Later on in this man's sermon, of course, he went on to verse 8. "And by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now this is just a very personal thing, but Moses told the children of Israel to remember the way the Lord had led them. And I'm just telling you, I remember something about this occasion which I've never forgotten. And some of you know how often I've referred back to this chapter. I don't remember ever telling you exactly why, but you know well it's one of the favourite parts of the Bible for me, very special for me. Well, as he went on preaching, I felt rather like the blind man that Jesus healed. When Jesus first began the healing process, he said, he was asked what he could see, and he said, "I see men as trees walking." I was about like that. I began to see something of what this first verse in chapter 2 meant. I knew that it meant I needed to be born again. I needed a new life. Perhaps that's not of a concern to you. I hope it soon will be. It is a very real and a very great it's the greatest concern that we can have in this life, to know that we have another life, that we have been born again. Had I been born again? Now, some people have an experience which is very sudden and very striking. It's like a searchlight being switched on in their lives. But others, and I was one of the others, had an experience which is rather like a man waking up on a very misty murky morning. There was so much I ought to have understood. I'd been under my father's ministry from childhood. I ought to have understood, but I didn't understand personally what it meant. I just was like seeing trees walking, beginning to see the importance of this verse. Well, I went back to where I was living, and I was still questioning in my mind, now, have I ever really been quickened? Have I got this new life? And I'll tell you how I believe the Lord made it very clear to me that I did have this new life. Because I looked at the verse again, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. I knew I had been dead, spiritually dead. But you know, the wonderful thing was, for me anyway, that I gradually realized that week that I was no longer dead. I wasn't as much alive as I wanted to be. I didn't understand as much as I hoped I would understand. But I did know that one thing: I am not dead. I was still a sinner, I knew that. But I wasn't dead. There was still a sort of clinging to those words, dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I have a concern. There are things I know that I need and I want, and I'm not dead. I'm still a sinner. But I'm not dead in sins. I don't sin with indifference. I'm not just a common, ungodly, unbelieving person with no care at all about spiritual things. I knew, and it became more and more important to me, that simple truth. I knew I wasn't dead in trespasses and sins. So, what had happened? God had given to me, totally unworthy as I was, totally confused as I had been, he had given to me a new life. And of course, there was much more to it. And I'm not going to go through all the details of that, but the point I'm making is that sometimes God can use a very simple part of his truth, a rather unexpected part of his truth, to accomplish what he purposes. It was clearly God's purpose to give me a life which was different to the life I'd been living, to give me a spiritual life so that I could say, I think it's the first time I could say anything with confidence about myself, and that was that I was no longer dead in trespasses and in sins. I'm only going to give you two illustrations from my own life. Time went on, and by the grace of God, I knew more, I learned more, I was taught more. I asked people. I used to write letters to my father asking him to explain things to me, and there is such a thing, you know, as growing in grace. And to grow in grace, you need to ask some questions. You need to seek out people who can help you with answers to questions. Well, that's what I was doing. And it was some years after that that there began to be in my mind another concern. I was more settled, I was more sure about spiritual things. My father had been a preacher as long as I knew him, and my grandfather the same, so I knew something about preaching, the ministry. And certainly initially I had dismissed any thought of it altogether from my mind. I was never going to be a preacher. But again, God has wonderful ways of dealing with uncertainties in our lives. He certainly had a way of dealing with my uncertainty about the ministry. I became persuaded that the time would come when I would have to be a preacher. And I think I understood something of the cost. Literally cost in every sense of the word as well, of being a preacher. But there was one big stumbling block in my thoughts. I really felt I didn't have the kind of relationship with the Lord that I needed if I was going to be a preacher. And it became a very pressing. I can honestly say a distressing concern to me. And it was really a time of desperation, and I went one evening to a little meeting place in Oxford, and I heard the man preaching there, and came to know him and came to love him as a preacher of the word. And he gave out as his subject that night a verse in Jeremiah, and my heart sank. I thought, well, that's not going to tell me much about my problem. And the verse that he gave out was the second verse in chapter 31 in Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And again, it was one word particularly in that verse which seemed to resolve, to a great extent, resolve my uncertainties. I knew that I had been drawn to the Lord. Again, let me ask a question. Is there anything that you can remember in your life that indicates that God, in his wonderful graciousness, was drawing you? There was an attraction developing, drawing you to him and drawing you to know his will for you and drawing you to know the way that you should take. And so, in spite of the feeling of utter inadequacy and unsuitability, I became more and more persuaded that that was the way I should take. So, that's why I'm here tonight. Well, you say that's a rather foolish thing to say, you're here because you were invited to be here. Well, I was invited to be here, but I was only invited to be here because these things are true. I have become evidently true. That was to be my life. It became my life. So I remember, I've only told you this because I want to try and underline the importance of remembering. Have you got anything, when you get older in your life and you look back, will you have anything to say? I remember. I remember when God blessed me. I remember when His word became powerful to me. I remember when unusual things became resolved in my mind and in my heart. And I'm certainly not telling you this for any boastful reason, for the simple reason that I'm here only by the grace of God. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2 expresses it wonderfully, beautifully. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me ask again the question, will you have anything to remember when you, if God is gracious to you, when you get to 70 or 80 years old and you have time to look back and think over the past? I hope you will be able to say, there are some things I remember, some things that were fastened in my mind, never to be forgotten. God is very gracious. Do you ever commit your way in life prayerfully to the Lord? Will you be able to look back later on in your life and say, I'm sure God guided me. I'm sure He directed me. It may be at a difficult time, a crisis time, a time of change in your life. What do you pray about? Do you pray about the way you take, the way things are developing in your life? Do you seriously think of praying? Pray to the Lord about guidance, about where He wants you to be, what His purpose is for you in your life. It may be very ordinary. But it's very important. And I think particularly for younger couples. You know, when these friendships begin to develop, and there's a lot of young folk here who perhaps have thoughts like that. All I can say is this. Be very careful and very prayerful. And I say that from past experience. I'm not going to relate that experience, but I can tell you I'm profoundly thankful that God redirected me in my life. I shan't embarrass my wife by saying any more about it than that. But that was, that's what happened, and that's why we're here together tonight. So do pray about it. Be careful. Be prayerful about your life. and about your future, about your friendship. Ask God to be your guide. Finally, some of us were here for the meeting this afternoon at the Lord's table. We heard those familiar words, "This do," Jesus said it, "this do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me, your memory. We're going to remember all the way the Lord our God has led us. And we're going to remember that the time came when he fastened on our consciences, our spiritual concerns, this clear direction. This do in remembrance of me. I still remember sitting at the back. I wasn't a church member in those days. I sat at the back observing what went on, and my father was administering the Lord's Supper up at Rochdale in Lancashire. And he was speaking about a woman, and she had anointed his feet, and others had objected to what was happening. And he said of this woman, "She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. She couldn't do much, but she did what she could." And that was a time. I remember that as a time of very strong conviction. I was convicted of my disobedience and my unwillingness to make a public confession of faith or to join the church as well. So God in his graciousness can direct and he can redirect. He can reprove, and he can certainly correct us when we go wrong. So, I was here this afternoon because that was the command I felt then, all those years back. We are to remember. And what do we remember? We remember that our only hope is in a crucified Saviour. The hymn puts it very plainly, doesn't it? "My hope, my only hope's in thee, O God, be merciful to me." Remember. Remember the one who died on Calvary. Remember the price he had to pay. And remember that your only hope for time and eternity is in him, in all that he is, and all that he has done, and all that he has promised to do. This do in remembrance of me. And it's not only there at the Lord's Supper where we hear words like that. It is a great principle of Christian life, isn't it, that we remember his calling. We remember his direction. We remember his example. And we remember that by his amazing grace we are on the way to meet him. I say it was the borderland, wasn't it, when Moses spoke like he did, when the people of Israel were so clearly commanded to remember the way the Lord had led them. And we have the grace and the blessing of God to not only remember, but to anticipate. We remember the past and we anticipate the future. They were looking forward to going into the promised land, weren't they? Under Moses. Well, didn't go under Moses because he wasn't allowed to go in, but that was their intention, that was their prospect. And for those who remember the way the Lord has led them through this journey of life, there is a prospect to look forward to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen.